Number five, some people are called through their desires. And I will say 90% of people who are called through their desires. Oh, yes. Including myself. I told you how I received a call to be a missionary. It was a desire. Prophet preached about missions. No, I started desiring to be a missionary. God put a desire. And that's why in 1 Timothy 3 verse 1, Paul told Timothy, said, if a man desireth. He said, what I'm telling you is a true saying. It's a true saying that if a man desire the office of bishop, which is the word episcopos, an overseer, someone who oversees God's people, a pastor, a leader in a church, he desireth a good work. Yes. I'm sure Timothy had written a letter to him that, how do I serve in the ministry? And he said, first of all, if a man, being a man or a woman, desire, the desire to serve God, do you understand? The desire to be a shepherd, a pastor, care for people, pray for people, counsel people, interact with people, visit people, that desire is something you have to take seriously. It's a desire to serve God. It's a desire to be employed in this glorious job, this beautiful job. Many of us are called through that desire. He wished Jesus had appeared to him in a very special way. He said one day he received one of our pastors in the house. He was a landlord and the pastor came to stay with him. Then he said the next day the pastor comes and tells him that Jesus visited him in his own house. Yes. And gave him a gift. And prophets, as this man was talking to him, he was listening, but he was so unhappy. That why would God do that? That I am the landlord in my own house. Even if this guy is a guest, even if you are coming, at least courtesy demands that you must come and talk to me first, me the landlord, before I go to the person who are just whatever. Do you see? Yeah, but that's how God called that person, in a spectacular way. But for him, he has not had any of such amazing experience, but all he had had is a desire to serve God. And look at how that desire has created everything we have everywhere in the world. So you can never deny the importance of having a desire as a means to the call of God. A desire to serve God. A desire to be a pastor. A desire to be a shepherd. A desire to be used by God. That thing, it is God. It must be respected. So it's not waiting and hoping that one day you hear a voice that will call out your name 2 times or 3 times. Do you see? Before you will know that God has called you, look into your heart. If ever you desire to serve God, that thing is supernatural also. Yes. And when you follow that desire, later you will discover a lot of amazing experiences with God. So respect desires. A desire is a fruit of life. It gives birth to a tree of life, as Proverbs says. Yes. That's why even in the human body, you see that there's a particular time of the man that God has put a strong desire in a woman. Okay. Do you get it? We call it ovulation period. That's where their desire is heightened. Their desire for sex, their desire to be with a man is heightened. Or he didn't do all these things in school. Yes. Yes. It means it's time for you to bear fruit. It's time for you to bear fruit. That's the time to receive the seed. To bear fruits. Oh, you still don't understand my message. Mr. Philip, I'm going back to Mozambique because it looks like these people, they don't understand when I started talking about these things. Hey!
you are not careful, after this session, I'll go back to Mozambique. Because you are behaving as if you don't understand what I'm talking about. Okay, take your seat. Yes. Yes. Woman. Pressure, the younger you are, the stronger that desire. And when it comes, you feel like a man should touch you. That's why when you see a brother, you want a hug. You want a hug. And when you get a hug, you don't want to leave the hug. You don't want to refrain from embracing. Hold on tight. Yes. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. It's from God. Yes. It's true. Yes. Respect desires. Yes. Hope deferred make the hassle. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree. It is what? A tree life. In the same way, when you desire ministry, it's a tree. You're about to give birth to life. So as my desire to be a missionary, can I follow that desire? I mean, a whole life of a tree of life has come up in Mozambique. At the age of 15, our prophet had a desire to be a pastor. Look at the tree of life. It has given birth to all over the world, over 100 nations, real churches and real children of God, through a desire. Through a desire. Ask your neighbor, what is your desire? Do you have a desire to serve God? Do you have a desire for God to use you to be a missionary? When the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. It's a tree of life. When I finished the verse, I didn't desire for anything else apart from ministry and serving God. I remember one day the prophet said, Apache, if you want to be a lay pastor, I can Switzerland. I want even people to go to Switzerland. And you get a good job. They'll pay you a lot of money. If that's what you want, it's not a bad thing. I can also make a way for you to. I said, no, daddy, my desire is to be a missionary. I want to go somewhere, anywhere, village, town, anywhere. That's my desire, the passion. God has put it there. When the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Yes. There's life in your desires. Just like a woman, your desire can give life to a human being. Human being. Look at you standing here with your big head. Eh? Came out of that small place. Through a desire. Through a desire. Oh, you still don't understand my message. The people at the back, they don't understand my message. That's why they are still sitting there. Sit down.
when the desire cometh. Some of you, by the time we are done with this camp, your desire will come. Yeah. Your desire to be a pastor, a church planter, a missionary. Oh, yes. Yeah. Some of you are going to become missionaries. And God is going to use you greatly, mightily. Mightily. You see, it was a desire that brought Bishop Ray to London, to England. Prophet spoke to him. Then he expressed desire. Yes. He was sent here as a missionary. Prophet had a discussion with him and he still had desire and said, I will. Look at the tree of life. Look at all of us sitting here. Yes. Yes, that's how we teach and we preach. Yes. You see, when I start talking about certain type of food, you come hungry suddenly. Yes. Yes. Anything you talk about stir up a desire. That's why you should be careful what you talk about. Yes. Yes. Hmm? That's why we encourage you to listen to preaching, to listen to messages, and there comes. Instead of you listening to worldly music, you are listening to sexual healing. These are songs you are listening to. Sexual healing. How does it help you? You start having dreams. Having sex in a dream. How does it help you? Hmm? It will rather provoke and stir up more desire to have sex. Yes. And the things you are watching. People have become perverse, sexually perverted because of what they were watching. It stirred up a certain desire that has changed them forever. That's why somebody's job has been to get all the messages, preaching videos, arrange them nice on YouTube. You have no idea how difficult it is to guide you into the rightful desire. He says, some of you, you have never even gone. You don't know the red, the ranch, the round, the round. Yes. So he said, the desire is not coming. It's not coming because you are watching the wrong things. And you are rather developing wrong desires. Wrong desires. Hmm? You have designed something soft. You are designing something hard. You are a hard man desiring something hard. Because you have exposed yourself to wrong things. You have been being fed with wrong things. Oh, you still don't understand my message? And then you are a sister. You see that you are soft. You need something hard. You also design something soft. How does it help you? How does it help you? What are all these? It's because of what you have been feeding yourself with. Yes. As you expose yourself here, you are watching the prophet preaching, ministering. Keep thyself holy. We are at war. And you are watching. You are watching. Jesus is stirring up a fighting spirit. A fighting spirit is being generated and desiring. And you want to go all out and resist the devil and take territories for Jesus and to defend territories for the Lord. Now we are at war. As you are listening, that's what it's doing. That desire is coming. And when desire cometh,
is about to give birth to something that has life, a tree of life. Tree of life. Friends, that is one important fact about the call of God. God calls us through our desires. Yes. So even sometimes in your mistakes, you see, sometimes the devil will want to change your desires. Or they say it's a type of a calling, but he wants to misdirect it like Moses. You see, he had a desire to deliver the children of Israel from the Egyptians, but he was doing it the wrong way. So when he saw the Egyptian fight, he went suddenly to deliver. Because there's a calling to deliver. He had a desire to deliver. Even though he was in the king's palace enjoying himself. But you see, he was always having this mind that one day I want to deliver. He had a desire to deliver. Yes. But he went at it in the wrong way. Because it was a spiritual thing. Yes. There were spirits involved. The gods of Egypt were at work. And so he needed a spiritual power. You don't use a physical means to solve a spiritual problem. Yes. Like some of you have a desire to serve God, but you wouldn't want to be anointed. You wouldn't pay the price to be anointed. You don't have spiritual weapons, and you are going to war. Have you watched Rambo 4? I think that's the last series, yes. The one Rambo was catching snakes. And the came and they wanted to go and rescue some people who have been taken captive by some terrorists and some wicked guys. How many have watched such a movie? Oh, you haven't watched the movie? Yes. They came and rented or hired his boat. Do you understand? Then when they told Rambo their mission, where they are going, he asked them a question. You can go and ask them. He asked them, do you have weapons? He said, weapons? We don't need weapons. He said, then go back. You cannot change anything. But they didn't listen to him. They had Bibles. But you see, it was a physical war. You don't need spiritual weapons. And when it's a spiritual war, you don't need physical weapons. Rambo had to go and get special weapons to go and rescue them. Ask your neighbor, do you have weapons? So it's not just a desire to go and plant a church or rest, but you need weapons, spiritual weapons. Yes. Armed and trained, like shepherds armed and trained. Do you understand? Yes. Stand to your feet. Lift up your hand and pray God to bless you with a desire to serve Him. Thank you. Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I just want to share with you briefly before we take a break, certain divine events. That will give you a signal to your calling. Some divine events. Number one. Divine drawing. Amen. Yes. God will give you a divine drawing to a man of God. It's a divine event, or it's a sign that God. You know, one of the most difficult things about ministry is to know what your calling is. Yes. So, am I called to just sing or to dance? To do what? What am I really called to do? Even yes, you are called for fruitfulness, but really, what should I do? There are many things. Do you see? But one of the things that draws people to their calling is that He gives you a divine drawing to a man of God. In John 6:44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me." Say, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Yes. Listen, God can give you a man of God to whom you are drawn to. That is an indication of what your calling is supposed to be. Do you see? You see, I know many men of God in the world. We watch them doing so many things. But the person I am drawn to is Bishop Dagwood Mills. I'm drawn to him. I can't stop listening to him. I cannot stop watching him. When we were in school, I had friends who had messages of T.D. Jakes, Kenneth Copeland and all that. I will listen, but I'm not drawn. It's like, I don't know. What they are saying looks powerful, but I'm not drawn. Give me a message by Bishop Dagwood Mills, and I want to keep listening. I just like it. It's so nice to me. And I didn't know why, but I didn't know that it was supernatural. It's that God has drawn me to His servant to tailor my calling and ministry to what He has given to him. It's supernatural. Somebody else will look at him and say, I don't know what he's talking about. This man is always, when he preaches, like he's joking. Like somebody one day said, he's just talking. Is this preaching? He's just talking. Yes. You can't blame them. Maybe they are not drawn to. Do you see? You. That drawing is God. Yes. That you like, you are here, you like, you buy ticket to come to Ghana for homecoming to listen to him. Wow. It's supernatural. That we are having a camp. If he's coming next week, all of us will be here again. Yes. It's supernatural.
Yes. That liking is supernatural. It's from the Father. And that's what Jesus was explaining to the people, that the reason why I'm drawn to you, do you see that you have come around? He said, don't take it lightly. Don't take it for granted. It is the Father who has put that drawing to be drawn to me. It is an act of God. It is an act of God. And he needed to explain to them, because he could see that if the people don't get it, you get it? If they don't get it, one day the devil will use his weapon of offense and throw them out. Because you see, you are here because God, Jesus is the one, you are here because God has drawn you to me, not to John the Baptist. In fact, one day John the Baptist spoke about Jesus, two of the disciples resigned. And they asked for permission to go and join Jesus. And he said, oh, Charlie, the drawing is supernatural. Just go. It's not a problem at all. Yes. It's not a problem at all. Because it's supernatural. Then later, is it from that? No. Verse 65. Then later he spoke, preached and taught some messages. Do you see? And he repeated the same revelation again, that he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by my Father. Twice he said the same thing again. As if he knew what was going to happen. The same people he had reached out to suddenly came to him and said, we want to resign from the ministry. We won't follow you again. You see, some people, they, no matter what is preached, you preach against disloyalty, they'll be disloyal. You preach against those who are dangerous and they'll become dangerous sons. You preach against those who leave you, they will leave. You preach against those who forget, they will forget. It's like sometimes you don't even understand. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Ah, you've just been told that, Charlie, you are here because there's a supernatural involvement too. God is the one who has drawn you to me. Why are you walking away? And they walked no more with him. Then he turned and saw only the 12 disciples standing there. And he asked them, do you also go away? And, no. To whom do we go to? After all, he just shared a revelation with us that we are here because there's a divine calling. There's a divine drawing. We have been divinely been drawn to this place to be with you and to stand with you. Besides, you have the words of eternal life. We don't have anywhere to go. We are here. Nowhere to go. This is the reason why you should never let anybody lead you out of the church. Yes, no matter what. Because Satan, he has no new tricks. Bible calls it the same old serpent. That old serpent. It means he has not changed his ways. Yes. He took some people out of the ministry. Jesus, God. With all his power and leadership abilities, some people walked away from his life and ministry. It's not something new. You should make sure that the devil doesn't take you away. Can you believe that? One day the devil took me away from the church. I left church. This church, I left the church for 3 weeks. Oh, yes. Reverend Chidi, I left the church for 3 weeks. Yes. Satan is bad, oh. And is wicked. 3 weeks, I was out of the church. 3 Sundays. I said that I would never come back to church. First Sunday, second, third Sunday, I was out. They would call me, I would give excuses. I would lie to them. I'm sick. I've traveled. My dad, all kinds of. But I knew that I've left the church. Serious. Look at what the devil was trying to do to me. Because I was offended with my choir leader. Her name is called Jemfua. Jemfua was my shepherd. We have been preparing for a convention. Been coming for rehearsals upon rehearsals all night. And then came the hour of truth for us to be on stage and perform. And Jemfo had told us we must wear black trousers with a white shirt. The brothers. And I had a black trouser, so I said, no problem. But on that Sunday, I had a trouser. It's a bit closer to black, but it's not. It's closer. Yes. Hey! So I wore it and came to church. When Jemfua saw me, he said, Frank, why are you not wearing black trouser? I said, oh, but this is also close to black. He said, no. You cannot be on stage. You are the odd one out. So you shouldn't come on stage. I said in my heart, you're a liar. You're a joker. You are not serious. I will be there. I will be on stage. And that they had invited three of my friends. I wanted them to come and see the glory of God on my life. I'll be on stage. So I said in my heart that, oh, you are joking. But I see my shepherd, strong shepherd. She was a no-nonsense man, woman. So then the hour of truth came. Let's invite a choir. We were all coming. They were clapping for us. Yes. I looked behind my three friends. They were clapping. I said, today you will see the glory of God on my life. Then before I realized, somebody stood in front of me. It was Jemfua. And signal me, go back. Go back. To the back. Go back to the congregation. You are not coming on stage. Go back. Oh! And the way she did it, I couldn't resist. So when I turned, I saw my three friends. They were laughing. I wanted to vanish. I went back to sit down. I was so offended. I said, this lady has embarrassed me. The whole church is watching and looking at me. Look at what she has done to me. As I sat in the congregation, I said, no. I won't tap and go home. Yeah. Because everybody will also see that. Because they just sack him, he's angry and he's going. So I forced to stay there. Hey! But from that time, my spirit left the church. I don't even remember what the message the pastor preached. When we shared the grace. Even my friends that I brought here, I left before they left. And I said to myself, never would I come to the church again. Satan is wicked, though. Yes, it's wicked. But you know, I believe maybe the church was praying for me, or they are praying in tongues, or the pastor's prayer was some way coming my way. So the fourth Sunday I was there, and I felt that, Pamela, what is wrong with me? Why do I even leave church? Look at me. I've been born again. I'm in church, whatever. I've stopped drinking. I've become a better Christian. Because of Jemfua. The pastor of the church has not done anything to me. The friends I've made in church, everybody is cool with me. So why should Jemfua be the only reason I'm cutting myself from the whole church? Is it like the prodigal? The Bible says, when he came to himself. Yes. So, I said, no. I think it's a mistake. I'm going back. And I came back to church. And I'm still here by the grace of God. It's been 27 years. Yes. Imagine where I'll be in life. Do you think I'll be standing here? Yes. Offense is a thief of victory. Yes. It will steal and take away everything God has for you. I'm telling you. So if ever one day the devil comes at you, this is with a spirit of offense, say, leave the church. I'm telling you, you'll be surprised what he's trying to do to you. Because you are here, like Jesus said, that you cannot be here. The Father drew you. Do you see? And you are drawn. God gives you a drawing to a man of God. Like the prophet of this ministry is called Bishop Dagwood Mills. That he has given you a certain feeling, a certain sentiment, and a certain liking
for him, his teachings, his ministry, his style of everything. Not everybody enjoys it, but you like it. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. It's just like Jesus. In fact, the Bible says, woe unto you if all men speak well of you. So those of you who want everybody to sing the praises of our... It's not like that. It's not even scriptural. Even Jesus. Jesus said that I've laid down my life for the sheep. Yes, and I know my sheep by name. They follow me. It's like he described himself as a good shepherd. But look at what some people said about him. In John 10, 20. These are people's opinion about Jesus. As he says, he's a good shepherd. And many of them said, he has a devil. Many others said, he's mad. Many others, why do you listen to him? Leave the church. Why do you listen to this man? Why do you go for a conference? Why do you go for Give Thyself Holy Conference? Why do you go for the camp to listen to this and that and that? This was Jesus. Some people were speaking and talking foolishly and all that. Every man of God has those things. There are people who never like you, who say you have devil, you are this, you are a cat, you are whatever. Let them say what they want to you. Those of you who have been drawn, supernatural, you've been drawn. We know what it is. That the church is a family. And we have a loving pastor, a loving shepherd, a caring shepherd, an anointed shepherd. Yes. And many of them said, not few, many of them said, he has a devil. He's an occult. And he's mad. Why hear ye him? Is that what they said to Jesus? Verse 21. Others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. You have to be spiritual also to know that this is not a cult. This is a church. This is a loving family. This is a church into pasture and shepherding. They care for each other. They care for the people. Yes. Yes. This is not a cult. Yes. Oh, you don't understand my message? Yes. It's a real church. Real church. He said, how can the devil speak such words and such preaching? Teaching to send mission. The words of Jesus is what is being emphasized. How can it be? You have to convince yourself. You have to know what you are part of. And you're able to defend yourself with the word of God. Yes. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Look at the miracles that are happening all over. Healing Jesus crusade. Look at the crusade that is happening. Look at the churches that are planted. There's power. There's real power. God is at work. Why would Satan allow churches to be built? And souls to be saved all over? It doesn't make sense. That against itself shall not stand. But I see, it's somebody's opinion. It's somebody's opinion. And I'm saying that that's somebody's opinion. It's up to him. But for us who are drawn, don't let anybody take away your liking. Because that thing is supernatural. I'm telling you. I can listen to other men of God. Their messages are nice and all that. But I'm not drawn. I can't stay with it. I can only listen for a brief moment. But give me the top. I can be on it. Soak it in the whole night. The whole night. I'm not tired. I like the voice. I like the prayers. I like the songs. Everything is a liking for me. I like it. And when you follow that thing, before I realize you have discovered your ministry and your calling. Yes. Because God has drawn you to the same thing. The same thing, the same thing, the same thing. That's why God told Moses, he said, choose 70 men, the elders of Israel. Bring them, and I'm going to take the spirit, the burden on you. I'm going to put it on them. Then you have the same, you'll be drawn to the same thing. They will have the same burden. One of the ways by which God draws us. Yeah, it's a type. It's a type of a desire. But I'm talking about being drawn towards a man of God. A man of God. Jesus was a pastor, was a man of God. And said, the Father has drawn all of you to me. Yes. There are others who don't like me. They say, I'm mad. I have devils. I have whatever. No problem. But you, look at your drawing and see that's a supernatural means by which God is trying to guide you towards your calling. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. So as you are being drawn by God to your man of God, I want you to know that you are having a supernatural experience.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. It's a supernatural experience that you are having. So don't be confused about it. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. And you'll be drawn to the man of God the Father chooses. Yes. God is the one who has chosen him for you. Do you know how the prophet got to know me? You see, I was in Kumasi, he was in Accra, the headquarters. You see, those days he used to have a program, Miracle Days Are Here, on television. Jim. And I say, when would I meet this man physically? When would I? I just like him. He'll be preaching and then he'll go and sit. On their stage. I said, wow, this is nice. Some people too were angry that he would go and sit. You see, but I like it. Then he would drink water. I said, wow, this is a pastor with a swag. This is nice. Everything was nice. So later when I heard that, some people were complaining, accusing him, criticizing him that he drinks water, he doesn't stay in one place. I said, something that I like. Serious. So I wrote a letter and posted at a P.O. Box 114 Kulebu. Those were no emails, there were no those things. WhatsApp or Facebook message. No, no. You write a letter and you post it. This was 1999. So I posted a letter to him. Then in the letter I told how I became born again. And in the letter, I explained to you what I was explaining about my family. And that I've chosen the name Apache. Because I'm going to be the first fruit of every good thing in my family. Hey. And I posted my letter. And that same year, I went to university. Now, he was preaching on an akazo. And he took my letter. And he read my letter in church at the headquarters. Fortunately, I had a friend from the same church who was in a Bible school. So he was in the service. So he knew the story, my story of how I became born again. So as he was reading the letter, he knew that it was me. So later my friend told me, hey, prophet read your letter in church and he preached with it. I said, wow! Yes. And in the letter I told him, I like him. I can't wait to meet him one day. I really expressed myself. Long letter, and I went and posted as a little boy. And I told him that I'm away to Cape Coast. I've been admitted in the University of Cape Coast. My pastor has advised me when I go to campus, I should join the church. Da, da, da. So a year after, he came to our university for a program called Takeoff. He used to come every year. It was an evangelistic program. So he came and preached. Then after, we gathered around him to fellowship him. So he was fellowshipping. Little boy, I was coming from Kumasi, a church that nobody knew, everybody who was around headquarters. So then he asked a question, who is Apache?
Wow.
Lysakios, I said, it is me. He said, come. He said, I received your letter.
Wow.
Then he put his hand around me.
Wow.
I can't remember the hand, it's just like this. That was it. From that time, he took me like his own. Oh, yes. He'll be traveling, passing through my university. He'll stop over and come and look for me. And give me envelopes with money. All the years I was in the university, I never had even one family member coming to visit me. He visited me regularly and gave me money. To me to use it. It's almost like I was worshiping the money at a point. You see, it's supernatural. Yes, that God gave me that thing. That I'm drawn. I like this man. Then he also started liking me. And by that, I found myself also serving the Lord. And doing certain things that he does. Oh, you don't understand my message? Respect the drawing. The drawing. The drawing. Being drawn to your man of God. Respect it. Yes. It's a divine event. Yes. And when it's time for somebody to take over the university church, usually it's like, if you are from the headquarters, you become the leader of the church. How did they fall? So different names were presented. Oh, I don't know. I know. I just know Apache. Apache should be the leader. Yes. And when we finished university, we had a lot of elders who have finished university. We all wanted to serve in the church. Say, so, okay, you go and serve in the parchment house where they print books. You go to here, go to here, go here. Apache, come and work in my office. Divine drawing. Respect it. Yes. Even your pastor liking you. Respect it. Yes. If your pastor chooses you. Second. Respect it. It's God who has put something in the heart. Yes. To like you. A spiritual person, you see all these things. That's like, it's a divine event. You don't miss it. You see it. But you see, some of your pastor likes you, but it's nothing. It means nothing to you. It means nothing to you. You rather disappoint and break his heart. But you have to look at it's a divine event. That's what Solomon, David did in 1 Chronicles chapter 28. Sit down. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And David assembled all the princes of Israel and the princes of the tribes. And the captains of the company that ministered to the king by cause. And the captains over the thousands. And captains over the hundreds. And stewards over all the substance and possession of the king. And of his sons and the officers. And with the mighty men. With all the valiant men. David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in my heart to build a house of rest for the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of God, of our God, and had made ready for the building. But thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and has shed blood." Verse 4. How be it? Listen now. He said, "Well, I'm not disappointed that God will not allow me to build a house because I've killed a lot of bad people. My hands are not clean. But God chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler. And as of the house of Judah, the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel." He liked me. Say, "He liked me." May you be liked by God. May you be liked by your man of God. Yes. He liked me. He said, "You listen up. There were 12 tribes of Israel. And the tribe of Judah was the least." Say, "The least."
The least
of all the tribes. And God bypassed all the great tribes and chose the least among them. That was Judah. And the tribe of Judah had families. And among the families in the tribe of Judah, David's father was the least. The least. The least. And among the sons of David's father, who was the least, David himself was the least. When Jesse called his sons, he called everybody except David. Yeah. Until the prophet has had these ones, he said that there remained the youngest or the least. He said, "Bring him until he comes. I'm not going to sit down."
And when he came and God said, this is he. So David is saying that, you see, he's looking at, it's a divine. He said, look, it's divine. He said, this is divine. That God liked me. That he will bypass the great tribes and choose the least of all the tribes. And among the least of all the tribes, my father is the least of the families. And among my father's family children, I'm the least. God bypassed my big brother who looked like a king. Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah, and all of them, and chose me. Ah, said he liked me to make me a king over all Israel. Yes, like him. That's what I'm saying. If your pastor likes you, please come around. He said, I'm preaching somewhere. Come and be with me. I'm traveling here. Come and be with me. And whatever. You know. It's a very important thing. Yes. And even the fact that you want to be where your pastor is, it's also divine. That God, something supernatural God has put there. If I had my own way, I would like to be a prophet every day. If I had my own way. Yes. Sometimes I just send a message, Daddy, I've missed you. He said, I've also missed you. Then I'm looking for an opportunity to be where he is. Sometimes the mess is so wild that I become restless. I said, no, I feel I'm too, I need to be around. Oh, yes. And because I don't take it for granted, I know it's God who has given me liking. Do you see? It has led me to the fulfillment of my calling and my ministry. So I'm explaining to you that thing, respect it and follow it. And don't let anybody disconnect you by what they say and what they don't say. He liked me. May God like you. May your man of God like you. It's a prayer topic to pray. That you be liked. One day I told a brother, I gave him this prayer topic. Because some wind was blowing against him. And he was becoming disliked. I said, pray this prayer. And he prayed. I said, fast. He fasted. Suddenly, everything changed. He became likable. Because sometimes the devil wants to make you unlikable. By making you the children of disobedience. And not because you intended to disobey, just that you haven't dealt with the spirit of disobedience. It's a spirit that is trying. Because anybody that obeys, do you see? Bible says obedience is better sacrifice. Do you see? Anybody who obeys, you'll be greatly liked. God likes people who are obedient. He said, and Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings as in the obeying the voice of the Lord. Great delight. God has great delight in people who obey. Great, a leader has great delight in people who obey. Yes. And that's what makes a man of God to be drawn towards you, because you're obedient. You do whatever he says. In John 8:29, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Jesus said, he that sent me is with me. My Father has not left me alone. Why? Why? Those things that please him. Always. He that sent me is with me always. Say always. My Father has not left me alone. For I do always. Not sometimes. The things that please him. Please him. Because of that, my Father likes me. He likes me. He's always with me. His presence, his spirit is always with me. This is the master key in carrying the presence of God. Yes. Do the things that please God. Yes, the things that please God. Building the church, winning souls, bringing people to the Lord, bringing, establishing them. Ha! You have God's presence with you. Always. Always. This was the master secret to Jesus' ministry. Preaching and teaching pleases God. The Bible says he has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You preach, you please God. Ask your neighbor, are you a preacher? Do you preach to anybody? On Sunday, do you have people you are preaching to? It please God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Ask your neighbor, why are you not a preacher? Why are you not a preacher? Huh? My dear sweet sister, why are you not a preacher? With this your beautiful face, how can you not preach? Tosin, are you a preacher? Or are you going to be a preacher after this? Yeah. You'll be preaching, Tosin. You'll be preaching. Yes. You'll be holding microphone like I'm holding a microphone. And you'll be preaching and you'll be teaching. And you'll be making altar calls. People will come and stand here and they give their life to Christ. And you lead them to Christ. And you prophesy over their lives. Yes. I'm telling you. You see, my dear little sister here, you'll be preaching. Amen. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Your voice is already a preacher's. Yes. Yes. We'll be seeing 17-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 19-year-olds. They'll be preaching after this camp. Oh, yes. I'm telling you. You are a preacher. You are anointed to go out and preach. Amen. And teach the gospel. Amen. God has chosen your voice. Amen. People will like to hear your voice. Amen. Your voice will be nice to some people. Amen. They couldn't wait to come and sit under that beautiful voice. Amen. And to hear you speak about Jesus. Amen. And tell them that Jesus Christ loves them. Amen. Yes. God will like you. I'm telling you. God will like you. God likes preachers and pastors with their many problems. Do you know pastors have many problems? Many problems you don't know. From finances to marriage, everything. Yes. Because pastors are also sheep. Do you know pastors are also sheep? And the sickness of the sheep, do you say? It's the same sickness for all of us. I'm a pastor, but I'm also a sheep to Bishop Dagwood Mills. He's my shepherd. Do you see? So we are all sheep. So the sickness of the sheep affects all, including pastors. One day a church member came to me. He said, he's asking me money to buy a land. Me too, I've been praying for money to buy a land. Yes. So I told her, my dear, I'm really sorry. I've also been praying for money to buy a land. Do you see? God should help us to find lands and money to buy. But it's almost like she was offended. Yeah, she actually even stopped the church. And told somebody that when she told pastor, I shouldn't have said that to her. I should have said that, oh, I don't have, but you know, I'm going to pray God is going to make a way and touch the heart of someone to bless you. Yeah, so that's our pastor. We look like Superman. Sometimes we are praying for you against a particular disease that the pastor also have the same problem. Yes, the same disease. Yes. Sometimes somebody is talking to you about marital issues, and as he's talking, you said, I also have the same problem. But you see, you have to close your mind to your problem and deal with the person's problem and encourage him and strengthen him. And then whatever you are telling the person, you're also telling yourself to encourage yourself. Yes. Yes. Able to rise up above your personal problems. Do you see? Yes. Like even Jesus on the cross. He was suffering and all that. The thief said, you say you are the Son of God. Save yourself and save us. The other guy said, don't speak like a fool. He has not done anything. We are the bad ones. Say, Jesus, please remember me tonight, okay? As we die, please do something about my situation. Jesus forgot about his pain and said that tonight is the night I'm waiting for. Tonight you will die. Angels will come and carry you. And they will take in paradise. Give a shout of praise to Jesus. Meanwhile, he was suffering. He himself was suffering and was in pain. That's what a pastor is. Yes. That's what a pastor is. Yeah. So it's not about whether you don't have problems or you have problems. No. It's about your ability to rise up and to please God and to do what makes him happy. And God will be with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? Yes. Stand to your feet. I want you to pray and say, Lord, I want you to like me as you give me the grace to please you. In the name of Jesus. Shande rebere ketaya. Rashekaya ba. Just pray, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus. Sandele barakara brababa. Ramama karakara doshi karabrandaya karabrababa. Reba barakara babaya karabrababa poro brababa. I barabosi darabrababa ya darabrababa. Rababas bebe karabrando shikarabrababaya rea karabrababa shikarabrababaya karabrababa reba shikarabrababa shikaya darabrababaya ye barakarabrababa. Thank God for the divine drawing to your man of God, being like, being drawn to the man of God, the liking God has put in your heart. Oh, to your man of God, to this ministry, to the prophet, in the name of Jesus. They are all signs of what God is calling you to be part of. In the name of Jesus. Shanda basi karabrababa. Rekatari brababa situru brebebeya karabrababaya. Reyibarakata yabarabra. Thank him that he has chosen you. He has chosen you. He liked you and chose you. God liked you. David said he liked me and chose me and made me a king over all Israel. God likes you. He has chosen you to be a pastor, a shepherd, a chapter, oh, an overseer of God's people, a bishop, an episcopus, in the name of Jesus. Shandarabo rebrekataya karabrababa. Shandorobo sekarabrababa yadarabrababa. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Sit down.